Psalms, and it's found on page 688 in your Bibles, Psalm 139. Lord, you've examined me and you know me. You know everything I do, all my thoughts. You see me whether I am working or resting. You know all my actions. Even before I speak, you already know what I will say, and you are around me in every side. You protect me with your power. Your knowledge of me is too deep. It is beyond my understanding. Where could I go to escape from you? Where could I get away from your presence? If I went up to heaven, you'd be there. If I lay down in the world of the dead, you'd be there. If I flew away beyond the east or lived in the farthest part of the west, you would be there to lead me. You would be there to help me. I could ask the darkness to hide me or the light around me to turn into night. But even darkness is not dark for you, and the night is as bright as the day. Darkness and light are the same to you. You created every part of me. You put me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because you are to be feared. All you do is strange and wonderful, and I know it with all my heart. This ends the reading of the scripture. Thanks be to God.
Now, I should have just been able to jump up here, shouldn't I have? Holy and amazing God, startle us with the extraordinary idea that it is our messy, flawed, imperfect lives through which you seek to transform the world with love. Amen. Hopefully you're not having too great of a challenge to take me seriously right now. But don't you love kapow? You know, these days, you know, with special effects, they kind of don't allow you to use your imagination. I love that kapow. I love Batman. I love Batman. One of the reasons why I love Batman is Batman may be the only, or at least one of the only superheroes who doesn't possess any supernatural powers. You know, he has some really cool gadgets. He has a phenomenal butler, a really, really cool car. But beyond that, take the mask and the costume off. He's a human being. In fact, the last Batman film, The Dark Knight, revealed that beneath the mask and the costume, he's not only a human being, he's a very flawed, pained human being that has a dark side. Now, Hollywood would have us believe that we need to put on a mask and a costume and be someone other than who we really are to change the world. You ever had a dream to be someone other than who you really are? You know, I know for myself, I sometimes wish I was a little more extroverted. You know, I actually wish often that I had a different body shape than I do. Maybe the only time that I have an 8-pack. I sometimes wish, you know, my dream always was to be a dancer. From a little boy, I always wanted to be a dancer. Sometimes I wish I wrote better. Sometimes I wish, you know what I wish? I wish I was more daring. Like those extreme athletes. You know the extreme athletes who have absolutely no fear. But I noticed something when I spent a lot of time thinking about wanting to be someone other than who I am, I struggle to accept who I am, just as I am. And I struggle to accept that as I am, I'm enough. And I think sometimes I fear that we think we need to be superheroes in our faith. You know, we need to be super Christians. And we put on a mask, perhaps, that hides the fact that sometimes we have questions and doubts. Sometimes we don't feel so strong. Sometimes, you know, we want to pray. We'd like to pray. We'd like to learn how to pray like that person over there. But maybe sometimes we even wonder, what is prayer? Does it work? Sometimes maybe even we want to be patient, kind, loving. But we find ourselves being angry and frustrated and reactive. Sometimes maybe we want to be strong. We want to feel like our faith is strong. But in reality, the ground is shaking underneath our feet. And what happens is we put on masks to hide all of that. And we come to places like this and pretend that everything's okay. The psalmist, said, "You are fearfully and wonderfully made, just as you are." The psalmist says, there is nowhere that you can go apart from God's Spirit. Think about it. There is nowhere you can possibly go. No mountain you can climb. No depth of despair that you can experience apart from God's Spirit. In other words, God enjoys your company. God delights in you. The psalmist said, in God, darkness and light are the same thing. You know, to God, darkness is light. So maybe what that's suggesting is those parts of ourselves that we like to keep hidden, those parts of ourselves that we judge as dark and unacceptable, to God, maybe they're just part of our whole self, part of who we are. So we don't have to... You know, we don't have to, for God, in order to dwell in our lives, we don't have to clean the house. We don't have to put out the best china. God says, you're imperfect, messy, flawed. Life is precisely where I choose to dwell. And you're imperfect, flawed, messy life, you are the people I choose to be part of my story. I mean, Hollywood writes a script where we have to be other than who we are. We have to wear a mask and a costume and be strong. You know, the script that God writes is polar opposite. The script that God writes, God is the casting director. And God as casting director is searching, looking for heroes and heroines. Heroes and heroines who will step out and be part of God's story of redeeming the world with love. And God as casting director has a fondness for flawed characters. God as casting director has a fondness for the imperfect. I mean, look at Jesus. Who did Jesus love to hang out with? The unacceptable, the unwelcome, the misfits, the broken. I mean, who did Jesus call to carry out his mission? Fishermen. Kind of uneducated, not much savvy there. In fact, the Bible suggests even as fishermen, I lost my belt. I was wondering why my muscles were choking my Adam's apple. kind of help. Actually, that happens to me in real life too. It kind of goes up. And as I move, it goes up and down. Who did Jesus choose to carry? Was that where I was? To carry out his mission, I think of this fisherman. What I love in the Bible, it even says they weren't even really very good at that. I mean, they were fishermen, and they were terrible at it. I mean, there was one part in the Bible where it says they were fishing all night long, and they didn't catch anything. And you look at the disciples, you look at these people Jesus chose to be part of this grand story. Most of the time, they had absolutely no idea what Jesus was talking about. If you read the Gospels, most of the time, they were totally, totally perplexed. When Jesus died, they had no idea what to do next. So we don't have to be superheroes. We're called to be ourselves. And the extraordinary news is that God seeks through our imperfect, flawed, broken, messy lives to transform the world with love. And I love the Peanuts. You know the Peanuts? My favorite Peanuts is the one where Lucy is the psychologist in the psychologist booth for 5 cents, you know, the psychologist booth, and has 5 cents, and Charlie Brown comes up to ask for advice on life. And Lucy, the psychologist, said, "Well, Charlie Brown, life is like a deck chair on a cruise ship. You're waiting, aren't you? Some people put the deck chairs in the back so that they can see where they've been. Some people put the deck chairs on the front of the ship to see where they're going. Where do you put your deck chair, Charlie Brown?" Charlie looked at Lucy and said, "I have trouble unfolding my deck chair." I mean, Charlie Brown and I are soulmates. I tell you, many days, if not most days, I feel like I just have trouble unfolding my deck chair. But yet amazingly, the extraordinary, shocking news, the preposterous idea that got Jesus nailed to a cross was the idea that it was the uncommon, it was the ordinary, it was the broken, it was the screwed up, it was the flawed, it was the imperfect people where God chose to be. It is those folks, it's the company of those folks God preferred. The extraordinary, shocking idea that is so contrary to our world and our culture that says we have to be better than who we are. We have to look prettier, younger, stronger, richer. The preposterous idea of the gospel is that our imperfect, flawed, messy, broken lives are precisely the lives God chooses to play the part in God's great story. You know, I love the fantastic story of the little boy who was going to school, and every day by school he'd pass a pet shop, and he looked in, and that day there were 4 black puppies, little black puppies. And he was so excited after school, he raced home, said, "Mommy, Mommy, can I have a puppy? I really, really, really want, I'll take care of it. If you just give me an advance of my allowance, I can buy it, and I promise I'll take care." Boy, we've heard that before, haven't we? I'll take care of it. And the mother, knowing the implications of bringing a puppy into a busy household, was resistant. But her little boy was so insistent. "Okay, you can have a puppy." So he was so excited, he ran to the pet shop. And the pet shop owner took him to the glass window and said, "Choose the puppy you want." And this little boy, he knew already, said, "I want the one in the corner." And the pet shop owner, "No, son, you don't want that one. You know, it's sitting there. You see why it's sitting there? It's not really playing because it was born with something wrong with its leg. So it doesn't play. It doesn't run with the other dogs. And this little boy lifts up his pant leg and reveals a chrome brace. And he says, "No, no. I want that one." So isn't it interesting that what disqualified the puppies in most people's eyes is precisely what qualified the puppy in this little boy's eyes? In this culture of ours where we're supposed to be strong, we're supposed to be better looking than we are, we're supposed to be somehow in control. The crazy idea is that those things which we think disqualify us, our blemishes, our brokenness, our flaws, our imperfections, are ironically the very things that qualify us to be the characters in God's story. So you can take off the mask. You don't have to be a superhero. God doesn't demand perfection. God doesn't demand you to be anyone other than who you are. God just desires your heart. And God desires your life. With all its flaws, all its imperfections, all its brokenness. And God says, "Give me your life, and I will work miracles." Let me close with the story of a Chinese woman, an elderly Chinese woman, who had two large pots. And she would put the two pots at the end of a pole. And she would go down to the stream to fill the pots with water to bring back to the house. Well, one of the pots was perfect. The other pot had a significant flaw, a crack. It was broken. So the perfect pot, each time, would be full when she came back from the stream. The broken pot would be barely a half full. So for 2 years, this was this woman's daily practice. And for 2 years, she would come back from the stream with a pot and a half. The perfect pot was proud of its accomplishment. The broken pot was ashamed. Ashamed that it wasn't able to do what it thought it ought to be able to do. So for 2 years, the broken pot felt like a failure. And one day by the stream, the broken pot said to the woman, "I'm so ashamed. I'm not good enough. I have this crack. And all the time when you come back from the stream to the house, water leaks out." And the elderly woman smiled and said, "Have you not noticed? Have you not noticed the flowers on your side of the path? And that there are no flowers on the other side? I knew your flaw. I accepted your flaw. So I planted seeds. And for 2 years you've been watering those seeds. And I pick those flowers. And I bring these flowers to the house. Because you are just who you are. This house is graced with beauty. I pick these flowers and I bring these flowers to people who are lonely and who are grieving and who are sick. Because you are just who you are. They know love in their darkness." We don't have to be superheroes. Be you. And God says, if you give God your heart, your imperfect life, God will work miracles. even through the likes of us. May it be so.